Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Frank Rush here with another Focus on Community. And with us this weekend, we're going to talk with Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
You ever want to see what Tammy looks like? You want to see the body outside of the voice? Just go to our website. You'll find the podcast and you will see her picture right there where the show's at. Isn't that great?
Oh, great. I was telling you, I think that, in fact, I had someone recently tell me that that picture doesn't do me justice. So I don't know what that means.
It looks fine because that is exactly fine. What you looked like 20 years ago.
And right. That's funny. I'm sure my kids would agree with that, Frank.
Anyway, so Indiana Youth Institute, you guys are focused on all things for kids, right?
Correct. And really, our goal is to help support all of those people throughout our state, those wonderful teachers and after-school providers and coaches, everybody that works with kids, right? So we don't work directly with kids. Our goal is to support those folks that do.
And when you do that, though, you do all kinds of studying of all the information, everything, to try to learn more about what we need to know to make things better.
Yes. Well, and I used to run some of those direct service agencies. And when we were there, we said we didn't have time to do research, right? We didn't have time to look at the data. And so we try to provide that service so that whatever's some new and interesting information, we can share that with folks. And hopefully it helps them do their jobs a little bit better.
We don't always cover everything here on air that you guys are up to, but folks can always head to your website. You've got, what, like a weekly or a monthly column that comes out that kind of talks about all these things?
We have a monthly column that comes out, you're absolutely right, and then we also have weekly updates. So if once a month isn't enough for you, you can sign up for our weekly emails that have a little bit more information on a variety of different topics.
And even though a lot of people that work in the education, childcare industry and that kind of thing, the so-called professionals in the field will find all kinds of useful info there, this is also for parents, too. You don't necessarily have to have a doctorate to understand what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And in fact, you know, there's a lot of just general information. In fact, I enjoy it because as a parent, when I'm doing some of this research, you know, it's funny, my kids will say, what are you researching now, Mom? Why are you testing that on us, right? But it is applicable for us to learn just as parents. Like this month's topic, you know, when I was reading it, I was thinking, gosh, we need to sit down together for family meals more because it's really beneficial. And we don't always hit that target 5 to 7 times a week because we're busy. And yet it reminds you of and gives you some rationale to kind of make those little changes in your very own household. So you're absolutely right. You can be a parent, a aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, any of those things, and it can still be applicable. There's something that you can take away from it.
For a long time now as a society, we have stopped having the family dinner. I mean, back in the Andy Griffith Show days, the, you know, the Ward and June Cleaver days and all that kind of stuff, used to be the husband went to work, the wife stayed home, was the homemaker. On occasion, she might be professional and worked, but for the most part, the mother had dinner on the table, 6 o'clock, dad came home from work, whether it be blue collar or white collar, everybody sat down to dinner, and that's how the family worked in most cases. Today, we've gotten very far away from that.
You're right. And even though I wasn't around Leave It to Beaver quite, I was a little bit after that, we still, you know, I remember, and they weren't always elaborate meals, and both my parents did work, but we ate dinner together as a family almost every night, if not every night. And we know that right now, not a lot of families do that, and people are busy, and times are busy, and all of that, but yet we know mealtimes can offer tremendous benefits for kids, and kids of all different ages. So it's really worthwhile for us to try to think about how can we make this happen. Again, the meals don't have to be elaborate, they don't have to be long, they can be early, they can be late. There's a lot of flexibility in there, but there is value to sitting down for a meal together as a family.
And this doesn't necessarily have any, I mean, when you take a look at where people are at on the socioeconomic ladder, highly successful and somewhat well-to-do, wealthier parents, this is as much of a problem with them as it is on the ones where mom and dad either still a whole household or a split household, or mom and dad aren't very wealthy and they're working some odd shifts. It's very important no matter where you're at.
You're absolutely 100% right. This benefits everyone and all families kind of across the whole board struggle with it, right? So, but we know that, and there doesn't have to be any routine. I know I have some things that questions I try to ask my kids at dinner, but there's no one right formula. The goal is really that that family, those meal times provide a chance for people to catch up on events of the day. It's a time to support your kids and each other, discuss news, tell stories, problem solve, have a little fun, plan what else is going on the rest of the evening or the rest of the week. It's just that really great time to connect in a way that doesn't have to be structured, you know, like a school day or like a meeting at your office, right? It's a relaxed way, but it really does provide a whole bunch of different benefits.
And that connection is something that you may have to work a while on to build up, because if you haven't done this and then all of a sudden you're having these family mealtimes, you go, so what'd you do in school today? And they look at you and roll their eyes and go, yeah, nothing.
Right, right. Or you know, it's, I think, depending on the kid and the age, there's a lot of not much, or it was good. How was your day? Good. Right? Those kind of things. And so you do have to work on it. But again, we know that family mealtime is associated with strengthening families, improving nutrition, and facilitating positive child development, all things that make it worthwhile to try to get through those humps, right? If a kid doesn't want to talk, then you just keep doing it, and eventually, hopefully, they'll open up a little bit.
And learning how
to know what to expect.
And learning how to be a good interrogator as a parent and not ask questions that can be answered with a simple, is part of the job of the parent to make sure that they kind of help pull this out a little bit.
You bet. You bet. And so, again, some of the interesting facts that I learned and doing this was that for young children, dinnertime conversation actually increases their vocabulary more than reading aloud to them does. Isn't that
really
interesting?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
And what it said was that it says that over these mealtime conversations, they learn different words than what they get from their storybooks. Little kids' storybooks are geared towards their vocabulary level. While sitting around the dinner table, they hear things in the context that adults speak, right? Which helps them learn different and more what they call rare words. We hope those are all clean and appropriate for kids, right?
Now they learn all those. They learn all those at school from their friends, you know. So yeah, it's a whole different vocabulary at school as opposed to around the dinner table. We hope so.
Right, and that's actually really beneficial for them. We know that for elementary, middle school age kids, regular mealtime is a more powerful predictor of high achievement scores, so, you know, better grades, better test scores, all that kind of stuff, than time spent in school doing homework, playing sports, or doing art.
Really? Wow, that's pretty amazing. Now, the other end of this, though, okay, we've got all these great things as far as the conversation, all this. Now let's still talk about the actual having the meal together. Okay, if you slap fast food in a bag on the table and say, here... Yeah, I mean, there's better ways to have a meal than doing it that way.
Well, I think you're it's the balancing act. You're absolutely right. Right, we're hoping again that we're improving that nutrition. We do know that Indiana struggles with keeping kids moving and having them moving at the level that is healthy for all of them. We know that a disproportionate number of our kids are obese or overweight. And so you do want to think about what's healthy. And we know that actually when there are family meal times, families are more likely, not always likely, and it's not foolproof, to have more nutritious meals. So again, another benefit.
All right. Now, when we talk about meal time, does it have to be dinner? Does it have to be the evening meal? Because let's face it, like I mentioned earlier, some parents nowadays, the way schedules are, there is no morning, noon, night. It's just all over the clock. So if you can get the kids to get up early, and if you can get up early, if your morning gives you a little bit more time than you will ever have of an evening, or because you can't be at home of an evening because of work, can we do this at other times of the day?
You bet. You bet. And I'm glad that you brought that up because, again, the goal is 5 to 7 times a week, but that can be breakfast. That can be Saturday morning breakfast. That can be Sunday lunch. Whatever those meals are, there's a benefit to being together. It doesn't matter if it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It doesn't matter if dinner's, like I said, if it's super early so you get the kids to swim practice. If dinner is at 4:45, then so be it, right? Or if it's at 9 o'clock. Again, it really doesn't matter the time of day or which meal as much as it matters sitting down together.
I am going to guess that a good piece of advice as part of all this that we're talking about would be turn the gadgets off. This should be a no electronic zone.
You are 100% right. And because the idea is to connect with one another, right? Not to sit there, everybody in their own little worlds of whatever's on their phone or their gadget. So the goal is to connect. And again, you can get some of those benefits from a half an hour. You know, this doesn't have to be, I know Thanksgiving, we're headed into that, and that'll be a longer, bigger meal. But even your, you know, a short time together is really beneficial. So put down the devices.
And it may take a while, though, to kind of build this up to make it actually work. Don't expect, you know, positive 100% results the first time or two you try it.
Right. Yeah. And keep going. And we're not, you know, again, I know that in doing that research, I was like, oh, do we do 5 to 7 times a week? Let me count. How many more do I need to do? And that's the goal. But keep trying to do it a little bit more at a time. It might, you know, if you can add a meal each week, then that's progress. And that there's a benefit to your kids in that.
Another thing, too, for parents might be to actually pay attention and actually listen. This little mealtime conversation, it's not all hot air, and you shouldn't just blow it off. I mean, you really need to pay attention, because in between the lines, there may be some communication that your kids are trying to give you that you haven't picked up on yet.
You're absolutely 100% right. And actually, what some of the experts call it is listen with patience, which is sometimes hard, right? So really stopping and trying to hear, listen to what the words are saying, but also hear what they're trying to convey. And that takes patience and not wanting to jump in and coach or tell or command your kids, whatever you think, but really listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it, so that you can gain that information to determine what you should do next, if anything.
And you should probably also listen to, if your kids don't necessarily agree with you or something, you might want to hear exactly why they think they don't agree with you, because yeah, it's not likely to happen, but they might have a point.
Well, they do. You know, I think I always say kids are smarter than we give them credit for at times. So the other, you're right again. The other piece of advice is be willing to be wrong and to be open to new arguments and ideas, and check both facts, right? If your facts might be outdated, or there might be some new information, but go ahead and check theirs as well, right? That idea that there can be new information, there can be new facts, letting go of your old stuff if it is in fact outdated or erroneous, and letting the kids even see you say, gosh, I've always thought A, B, and C, and you just taught me something new. That's huge for them to see and to understand that adults can accept new information and can acknowledge when maybe their information was incomplete or even wrong.
Even if you don't mean it, at least let them think they're right once in a while.
Well, if you listen, usually there's some, you know, a little bit of truth in there that you can really, you know, wrap your head around. I know in one conversation I was asking my kids about vaping in their school, right? And they had a lot of information that I was a little taken aback by. But then you go and you check it, and they were right. They were right that it was more widespread than what I perhaps wanted to believe.
I bet your kids just hate being your guinea pig, don't they?
There are times when they say, you know, they'll tease me about, oh, Mom, did you read some study? They're like, and it's going to open up with, I read a research study today that said blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's kind of an ongoing joke at our house.
Yeah, they're probably rolling their eyes every time you say something. It's like, okay, what study or what article did you read that brought this up? You know, it's
right. Well, in fact, I can tell you just within the last couple of days, I was setting the table and my son said, a family mail again. And I said, yep, that's this month's column. We're going to do better. So again, we can all lean in and learn new things, and we can all try to improve how we interact with our kids.
Now, here's something you could do that I will give you this suggestion. And of course, your kids will learn soon to hate me, even though they don't know who I am at this point. And that is, you do this family meal thing. You guys ought to do a little video for your website. And actually record one of these little family dinners and see how it goes. Like I said, they're going to hate me even more than they hate you now.
Oh,
so.
Wow. I love that idea. Well, and especially since, you know, they're so entranced with YouTube videos and all those things, right? So let's see. I'll see how that goes over. I think it's a fantastic idea.
And if it turns into a food fight, well, so much the better, because that's more entertaining.
Right.
Tammy, so
I think it's just fun to try out new things and have a good time with it, right? Laugh about it, talk about making videos, make some jokes. It doesn't have to be serious. It's just time spent together.
If you want more information on this, you can always go back and listen to our podcast, which is basically this show that you can hear it again online if you missed part of it. Or Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. You guys have a mighty fine website with all this written down and a whole bunch of other topics too.
Yes, hopefully you can find everything you need. And if you don't, reach out, give us a call. But our website is iyi.org.
Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute, our guest again this week on Focus on Community. Thanks for being with us. A regular guest here simply because they've got so much good information to share. Again, you can go back to our website and actually hear the podcast or head to iyi.org for more info. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.